Welcome. You are listening to The Creative Spark. My name is G. Brian Benson, and I'm an award-winning author, project coach, actor, TEDx speaker, creative, and four-time Ironman triathlete. I love to creatively inspire and be inspired. And with each episode, I will be talking of authors, athletes, entrepreneurs, artists, and actors sharing their journey of success and learning how to find the joy and peace of mind that comes with stepping into one's own skin and going beyond anything they might previously have thought possible. I hope that their stories and strategies provide insight, tools, and empowerment to step up your creative game and help you live your best life. So without further ado, let's get going. My next guest and I connected a little bit over maybe a year and a half ago. He kindly reached out to me after watching a poem on YouTube that I wrote called Moonchild. He asked if he could make the poem into a play. Very humbled, of course, I said yes. And since then, I've enjoyed staying in touch with him and following the progress of the play, which turned out really fantastic. And I couldn't be happier with seeing how a story of mine spiderweb out into the world in a new and unique way to reach other people. The really cool thing is my next guest is only 23 years old and autistic. I would love to welcome to The Creative Spark, Mateo Esposito, a playwright from Ontario, Canada, whose plays have been staged in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Welcome, Mateo. It's nice to have you on with us.
Thank you, Brian. Nice to have you.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Before we get going and I start asking you some questions, I'd like to read the poem that brought us together.
Absolutely. All right?
Okay. Yeah, so this is Moonchild. There once was a child who looked up to the sky and focused their stare on the moon. They would ponder and think of the many ways they could live their life in full bloom. Their wishes and dreams, known only to them, were exciting and real in their head. Dreams of travel and adventure would swirl around until they fell softly asleep in their bed. The moon to them was a giant friend to dream upon, which set them free. Free to think and grow and learn, to just be themselves was the key. Their moon was inspiring, a bright shining star, which sent their spirits to flight. When feeling low, they would look high to the sky and soon would be feeling all right. Being friends with the moon helped plant a seed deep down inside their soul. This gave them the courage to be whom they wished and of their life take control. Listening to their heart, they knew was the key to truly make their world come alive. Stepping forward in faith and trusting their heart, each day they would continue to strive. So believe in yourself and always keep on with the help of your friends like the moon. The power is there. Just open your mind. It will all come together quite soon. Mateo, what was it about the poem that made you want to write a play about it?
That's a good question. Well, a lot of people, in my opinion, don't believe in themselves. Mm. A lot of people don't believe in themselves, and a lot of people don't work hard to achieve their dreams. And I thought I wanted to be inspired myself, so I decided to reach out to you. And I think the poem is brilliant, beautifully crafted, and I'm so happy that you humbly said yes, and I'm so happy that I said, okay, let's do this, because I want to inspire people. I want to inspire people to the point where they get inspired to do the work and achieve their dreams. Mm-hmm. And I think the best thing to do is to teach young people. They can be anything that they want, you know?
Yeah. 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 Oh, thank you for the kind words. And yeah, I totally agree with you, right? You know, and mm-hmm. there's so many different ways that people can, put work out there that is inspiring, because we all have different stories and we all have different ways of kind of stepping into maybe our own version of greatness. And what might inspire one person might, you know, not inspire another. But so that's why it's, you know, I think wonderful that you're out there doing what you're doing. Now, do you want to share a little bit about how you converted what I just read into the story of the play
Absolutely.
That you wrote?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Brian. So I have autism, which is a disability, but I don't look at that. I call it a challenge mm-hmm. or whatever. And, you know, and basically with my experience and with Brian's brilliant words on as a poem, I decided to put it all together into a package that is beautifully crafted. And I think I actually want to read, this is the first time I'll read a monologue that actually the moon tells the little boy named Harry, who's 8 years old in the play. Mm-hmm. I would love to read it for you guys. So this is the moon talking to Harry, who is a boy who wants to believe in himself and wants to become a painter. Mm-hmm. So the moon says, people are people. They care about what they want, and that's it. They don't take time to get to know and understand that people's needs, strengths, abilities, and all those other things that make people tick. As the moon of this earth, I see people being mistreated all the time, autistic or not. I'm up here for a reason, to give light to a world when it's dark, to give hope, prosperity to a world that needs it. But this world is beginning to crack, my friend. I've seen it firsthand to me, and that's sad. We need to get along with one another. If we don't, the world will become more of a mess. Now, that monologue, by the way, Brian, mm-hmm. Came to me. Like, I was writing play, adapting it from your poem, beautifully written again. Mm-hmm. And I have to say this. That, like, what does the moon represent, in my opinion? Not only in the poem, but in the, like, the moon represents a friend. And also the moon represents a light to a world when it's dark. If the moon and stars weren't out, you know, if the moon and stars weren't out in life, it would be just black, a black night sky. Mm. And it wouldn't be that beautiful. And basically the moon in the play is basically the narrator. And he basically teaches Harry and teaches the audience how to believe that they can. Mm. We give them little hints and everything. And of course, the dad, the father, is not really keen in art. He really doesn't he doesn't want to create art. He doesn't like art. He wants to do business. But because of Harry's belief in himself, and he studies the belief and he wants to become a painter, he blows his father away with a little painting that of him and the moon at the end. And he shows the audience just a beautiful image, a beautiful tableau of an image, saying the moon and me, this is what I did after I believed in it myself. And I think that's the key to life. Like I say, if you believe in yourself and you work hard, and you never give up, you can achieve anything you want. And I want to encourage not only young people, but older people, whatever, to believe that they can. Mm-hmm. We all have depression. We all have anxiety in a way. But if we keep believing in ourselves and just pushing it to the limit, taking risks as well, I would love to talk about taking risks, because taking healthy risks, of course.
Yeah, of course. Well, but you, can I say something really briefly, though, just based on what you just said a second ago?
Yeah, absolutely, Brian. Thanks.
It's fine. So, you know, I mean, what I'm hearing, and I totally agree with you, you know, if we can really just, I think if we can all get to that place of just being comfortable with who we are and in the way that we want to express ourselves in the world, everything, I don't want to say all the tough stuff goes away, but we stop looking outside of ourselves.
Right.
To, you know, for the happiness that resides within. And it's just a matter of allowing ourselves to kind of share what wants to come out. And so that's what I hear, you know, that's what you did with Harry and his journey to get to that place of showing his father what really was inside of him and how he wanted to express himself.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're doing that yourself in real life. Before we get into the things that you had just talked about, is your family supportive? I mean, I'm sure that they are.
Of course they are, Brian, of course. Yeah. My family's supportive. My friends are supportive. I have a great family that knows my needs and knows my abilities. Mm-hmm. And they want to see me grow. And another thing is to have a person not grow as in tall, but grow a person as in their strengths and abilities, and surprise people that they can actually do the things that they can do. Yeah. You know what I mean?
When did you first become interested in writing and telling stories?
That's a good question. When I was a young teenager, I wanted to write plays and I wanted to write stories about just plays and everything. And I started really early on about what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And basically that is, you know, not that that's not all I wanted to do, but the first one act play that I wrote about autism was Sorting It Out. The second would be Moonchild. And both of them are about autism. Sorting It Out is about somebody's ignorance to understand the disability and the consequences that follow. Mm. And Moonchild is about autism and believing in yourself. So two different, under the same umbrella, but yeah, I was a teenager when I was starting out. So
did you see some plays that inspired you to get into the theater?
I was always into the theater. I always loved music and I always loved performing arts. Mm-hmm. But like I'm more of a backstage guy. I like to see how things are done instead of being on the stage. But it's still thrilling, in my opinion. Backstage, on stage, writing, designing, I love it.
Interesting. Nice. Mm-hmm. So so what inspires your work? I mean, just you growing yourself and kind of wanting to see who you are and what you're capable of. I mean, is that self-motivating? Does that make sense? Or are you out there to kind of prove yourself to other people? What inspires your work?
That's a good question. What inspires my work is the achievements that I've done before. And I'm like, how can I better myself? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. How can I better myself to do what I need to do to become successful? How can I better myself? Mm-hmm. And, you know, being with autism, there are, like, I have to say this, there are three ways to get out in my neighborhood. You can either get a normal job with no real future, which is like, you know, grocery store. You can you can rob a bank and get money that way. You know what I mean?
That doesn't work. I'm just kidding.
I know. Yeah, exactly. The third thing is becoming a star. A music or a theatrical star. And I think that's the best thing that I can do. The other two, garbage. In my opinion, you know, becoming successful, bettering yourself is a good idea. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, right?
So, yeah. So the your plays have been shown and performed in a lot of different places.
Yes, absolutely. Mexico is coming up. New York off Broadway. I'm so excited about that, but I can't really spill the beans on that one, Brian.
Okay.
but New York will be happening.
Wow.
But, you know, so there's a lot of places that pick up my work, not necessarily because I'm artistic, because of because the work is good, but also because there's a story about autism. There's an underlying truth about what autism is. Mm-hmm. And all that, yeah. Because, you know, I have to say, being with autism is tough. It's not easy. It's not easy to manage your days. It's not easy to do all that, you know? So, yeah.
How does autism affect you in your day-to-day life? There's a lot of us here who don't have it, or maybe, you know, are not privy to it all the time. So how does that affect your daily life, first of all? And then how does it affect you in your creativity?
Exactly. Well, in my daily life, it's a mess because, because I have ruminating thoughts and depression and anxiety wherever I go and whatever I do. And to have autism, I have certain behaviors, like a stim. Which is self-stimulatory behavior. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's a lot of interesting stuff and then there's people. Like, I'm not afraid of people, but I'm anxiety around big groups of people and all that. Mm-hmm. And I have OCD, I have tons of stuff. But the thing that inspires my creativity is my autism as well, because I put a different perspective or a new perspective into what I'm doing.
Does when you're working, when you're writing, does that help you help some of those self-repeating thoughts? Does that kind of quell them for a little while, or are they, you know, there all the time for you?
Yes, they're all the time, but when I'm occupied, when I'm focused, it makes me happy. It makes me so happy that I'm focused and I'm doing a lot of good work. And another thing is basically with my autism and all that, Sorting It Out is based on a true story that happened to me. Somebody actually was talking down to me on a bus, on a transit bus, And I decided to take that little incident and plop it on stage. I said, you know, and I said, how could I create something based on this? And how could I make the audience understand what I'm going through?
Yeah.
I think that's the autism spark, if you know what I mean. And then for Moonchild is basically your great poem. And I have to say, doing it was an honor. Doing it, actually, thank you for letting me do it.
Because
Brian, I wanted to tell you something and tell the viewers something.
Mm.
You know, I want to inspire people. I want people to understand not necessarily what I'm going through, but how others can navigate as well.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because if I can inspire people to say, this is how you navigate, this is how you believe in yourself, this is how what happens to us in real life, people can find that interesting and inspiring, you know?
Oh, for sure. No, for sure. Thank you. And, you know, obviously it's that so far, it sounds like you're utilizing your own personal experiences and how you want to show up in the world in your work. Do you have any other things kind of, are you working on anything currently? Do you have a new idea or something that you want to kind of develop? Or
well, I have a lot of ideas in my head. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm focusing on my two plays. I'm trying to get them out here, mm-hmm. there, and everywhere. Because the thing is, like, both of them are educational pieces. Another thing is to educate these young men and women is interesting. So I want to focus on educating more, not being a teacher, but being a teacher through art. You know,
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think ingenious.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
How do you, I have no idea how one would market a play or try to have it find a home, you know, in a theater someplace. How do you do that?
How do I do that? That's a really good question. A lot of faith, a lot of prayer. No. What I do is basically, I contact the theaters myself. I say, can you read my play? No, okay. Next, can you read my play? It's like an assembly line.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, I know. I do that personally. I, like, you know, I go email people. Like, this is what writers have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, writers have to email people. They have to get out there. They can't just sit on their butts and watch TV and watch Netflix and basically eat potato chips, you know?
Right.
But you know what I mean, right, Brian? But I know there's a lot of people out there who want to do that, but who like doing that, but it's not the best way to live. The best way to live is to get out there, is to do stuff, take risks, contact people, make connections.
Yeah.
Turn poems into plays, whatever, you know?
That takes a whole nother level of bravery sometimes, because a lot of times a lot of writers are kind of maybe a little more on the introverted side.
Exactly, exactly.
And it isn't always easy to do that.
Exactly, exactly. And to have somebody like yourself saying, I would love that. And like, that's, I don't mean to be rude, but God bless you, Brian, for saying yes. Because
how could I say no? Yeah, it was humbling.
Thank you. No, I'm humbled by you saying yes. So I think we're on the same page, my friend. But you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of writers say, no, yeah, you can do it. Give me $1 million after. But you know what I mean, right, Brian? Yeah.
Sure.
But exactly. Exactly. But all kidding and comics aside, the poem and the play cohesively give the audience a message.
Mm-hmm.
And that message is to believe in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
To the fullest extent, and to achieve what they want. Because in my opinion, you can achieve anything in this world. If you work hard at it, live in full color, and believe that you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you constantly kind of like, do you read other people's plays? Do you go and watch the theater when you can? I know the COVID's probably put that on hold a little bit, but
because
you
of COVID,
are you looking outside for ideas potentially, or are you just let them come through your own experiences?
Both. I go to the theater a lot, mm-hmm. when COVID willing. But I don't, now I shouldn't say this, but I don't like to read plays because they influence my work.
Mm.
I want to see plays that I want to create.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But poems and experiences are fine. But other people's plays, they will give me the setting. They will give me the dialogue that, you know, mm-hmm. but I don't want to do that. I want to take an entity like a poem or a book or whatever, or even my own experience, turn it into a play. Yeah. I think that's the best way.
That's very interesting. I'm kind of the same way. I don't pay attention too much to other people, maybe in the same realm that I am, because I don't want it to influence my work. And I know some ways it can kind of like help, maybe, you know, but yet it makes me a little nervous to do that. So that's interesting that you said that as well.
Yeah.
What keeps you motivated, you know, since you do have the daily struggles? Mm-hmm. And you know what keeps you getting up, you know, every morning?
Well, I think what keeps me motivated are my achievements, my past achievements, saying I can do better. I can do whatever I want. I did not, you know, like I let's like I make good plays, but I don't make the best plays. So I want to make, so one day I want to be like the writer that has a decent career in the theater, of course. Mm-hmm. Writing plays about autism, saying and bettering myself every single day. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know how to better themselves. A lot of people don't know how to believe in themselves. A lot of people don't want to believe in themselves to the point of an extent. And some people believe in into an extent, you know.
Yeah.
But they should believe wholeheartedly.
What do you do to better yourselves? I mean, better yourself other than, you know, obviously writing and trying to become as self-aware as possible.
Well, I believe in myself most times. Mm-hmm. I have to think positive. I have to think positive, and I have to be, you know, just keep being myself. Mm-hmm. Because what's on the inside that counts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's like, if I keep being myself, and you know, believing in myself, that can go far.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. Now we've talked before, and I know that maybe an obstacle for you was getting your diploma and then getting accepted to go to college to study theater.
Yeah.
And how's all that going? And tell me a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So not to put anybody down, but like my high school, and the education experience wasn't good for me.
Okay.
Because I was in special ed. A lot of people said no and all this stuff. But the thing is, I had to pick the pieces off the ground and say, you know what? How can I do this? How can I do this? Like, how can I create a future for myself, a better future for myself?
Sure. As well as just like, how can I create what I know is inside of me?
Exactly.
Where can I put myself into a place that allows me to be, you know, to be the best version of myself, right?
Right. So yeah, and then for the theater, like the thing is, I went for a tour. I'm at a program called Sheridan College's Technical Production Backstage Program, and they were so gracious and nice to me. When I went for a tour, I actually showed up my set design professor. His name is Tyler. He's a fantastic, fantastic person. Mm. And Sheridan in Oakville, Ontario, is a fantastic college for backstage and onstage performance and backstage theater, and all them are great. I'm blessed to be there.
Yeah.
But I was showing Tyler my models and my sets and all that. And he was like, yeah, you know your stuff. And I was like, I know. And he, you know, I felt like saying, I know, you know, and I did. And he said, don't worry, we'll give you a chance. And I got in. So it's a blessing to be there.
That's awesome. Now, are you currently going there now? Or was that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going there now. I love every minute.
That's
it's
awesome.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
How... Wow. We're starting to wind down toward the end here. How, if you could snap your fingers, what would you be doing in 10 years?
That's a good question. Winning a Tony.
Ah, I'm kidding.
You never know. I'm kidding.
You never know.
Exactly. Hey. But yeah, right? An Oscar, whatever, but the best production design. I don't know, Brian, like honest to God. Like I just want to have a decent career. That's all I want. Mm-hmm. A decent career with connections and friends that know me, to hire me. Like, I don't care if I get to Broadway. I don't care if I get big. What I do care is to have a good life, mm-hmm. and to have yeah. a good and to have a good career.
Yeah.
Whether it's big or small, I don't care. I'll be happy with whatever. That's but it has to be the theater, of course, and writing and plays and all that. So,
yeah. Well, you know. I don't see why that can't happen and why it won't continue happening.
Thank you.
Yeah. How can people find you? Are you out there on social media at all or anything?
I am. There's a website, so you can go Mateo Esposito. So it's about me / Mateo Esposito.
Okay, and I'll put that in the show notes too so people can see that.
Please do, Brian. Please do. Because it's great. I want people to connect with me and all that stuff. Mm. And because I like you know, I want people to get to know me as a person mm-hmm. and me as an artist. I think that's the best thing. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you joining me today, Mateo. It's been a pleasure and another chance to catch up with you. And
absolutely.
And gosh, I wish you the best. And, you know,
Me too.
And I can't wait to see where Moonchild plays.
Trust me, I can't wait for you to see it either. I can't wait, honest God. Lots of good things are coming, Brian, so I'll keep you guys in the loop. Absolutely.
I appreciate that. All right, well, until next time, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. A pleasure.
Thank you for listening to The Creative Spark. To learn more about host G. Brian Benson, his latest best-selling book, Habits for Success, and this week's amazing guest, please visit the show notes. And we love building community, making new friends, and spreading the goodness. So don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends and family. Until next time, as Brian always says, be well, be creative, and always be yourself.